Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, and here is what's happening Tuesday, April 9th, 2019, on this 80th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust 80.
Wow. It
makes me feel old.
Yeah.
Brady Wright here, as usual, wearing my high-speed, low-drag muscle shirt with master mechanic and metal butcher Shane Osborne doing his ninja act today. He'll be along shortly. And Steve, the producer, Johan, who is trying out the new video feed for our upcoming YouTube channel this afternoon and broke the camera. But that's okay. It'll be fine. Don't worry. Hey, before we jump into the show, I want to let everybody know the Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, we still have a few openings for new sponsors. It is a great opportunity to reach a close, targeted audience of car enthusiasts and hot rod dudes. Every time the show is accessed, we share the podcast with over a million listeners every week, and your message gets directly to them. If you got a business that caters to car people, let us work for you. Heck, you could sponsor this weekly feature right here. Just imagine, over a million listeners hearing me say, Back to the Blacktop is brought to you by insert name of your business here. Email the show at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com or message us on Facebook and we will work for you. Now, let's see what's happening in the automotive world from Dr. Steve.
Well, coming off the heels of the college basketball mania.
Ooh, March Madness.
Yes. I've titled the following news, The Final Five Fiat Chrysler Countdown.
Yo, I like this.
Yes.
Getting kind of alliterative here.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, man.
Up first, Easter weekend sees Jeep once again celebrating Jeeptum. For the 53rd consecutive year, Jeep is hosting its Moab Easter Safari.
Oh, yeah.
Along with its Fiat Chrysler Motor Parts division. Jeep came up with an amazing assortment of six customized models that will join in on the fun. And there's a couple really cool vehicles in there. You can go over to thedetroitbureau.com. They got more information there.
All right.
My two favorites.
Yes.
One is a 2019 modified Jeep Gladiator, stretched by a foot, while the cab was shortened to give the truck a total extra 6 inches. The two-door customization harkens back to the 1978 Jeep Honcho. Remember that?
There you go. Sure.
Yeah, and it's got the bright classic blue paint to go along with it.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
And so it kind of matches the old J10 trucks of that era.
There you go. Yeah.
Then the other.
Those were cool.
The other is a Restomod 1968 Kaiser Jeep M Military-715 Military Vintage Truck.
I like it.
Including carbon fiber front end, 6-foot. Custom aluminum bed and roll back soft top. And get this, Brady, it's powered by none other than a crate Hellcat Hemi V8 capable of punching out 700 horsepower.
Of course it is. Now, this is the, because I saw this picture, I think it is the green one.
Yeah.
It's just killer. And the piece that I saw on it was Jeep rebuilds or reintroduces the pickup.
Yes.
And, you know, if you go back to the 50s, the old Jeep, the Wagoneers, they had a pickup version of
that's
that.
That's right.
I had one of the hard, not the hardtops, but the squarebacks.
My buddy had a 70s Jeep.
But this thing looks really good. I only saw it from the back.
Yep.
But the whole idea of that, a little bit higher off the ground with with a Hellcat motor.
Yeah.
I'm there. Let's just do it.
Well, up second, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles come up with a way to head off hundreds of millions of dollars in fines from the European Union for missing its emissions targets by teaming up with none other than Tesla.
Yes, of course.
FCA is using the open pool option that will allow it to count Tesla's growing sales in Europe as if it were its own products. Tesla has used the similar approach in the United States, a move that was particularly critical in its early years. And I didn't have a clue, but they partner up with different, it's kind of like carbon credits.
Yes.
This is very much the same thing.
Did you know that Tesla has some of the best emission standards of any vehicle?
Yes.
Why is that, Brady?
Well, and then up third, U.S. Justice Department and Fiat Chrysler Automobiles reached a settlement in an antitrust lawsuit about claims the automaker forced dealers to report false sales numbers, hoping to bolster the company's stock price. And right on that is the fourth one, Ed Napleton, the dealer who sued Fiat Chrysler Automobile in 2016, accusing it of paying dealers to inflate sales numbers, will keep all seven of his FCA FCA dealerships, according to the antitrust lawsuit, which was settled last week.
Boy, they're not going to be happy with him, though.
No, they aren't. He's a whistleblower.
He's going to be selling Buicks pretty quick.
Well, actually, he's got 48 dealerships under his group. And then last but not least, Ram pickup outsold Silverado in the first quarter this year. That was a high note for – so five. Can you name a five?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And, you know, there's the Chevy guys and the Ford guys and the Mopar guys. I mean, it's age-old rivalry.
It is.
But over the last several years, well, since they spun Ram off into its own – logo, its own brand. I have liked the Rams.
Yes.
They are not badly done. They got a lot of juice. The styling is hot, and, you know, you can get lots and lots of accessories. Chevy, they're going to be Chevy forever.
Yep.
And I don't have any bad things to say about them, or Ford either, for that matter.
Nope.
And, you know, Ford's holding the number one spot because everybody loves the F-150. But Ram is coming on. They're actually doing real aggressive marketing, and they're putting together a pretty good product.
And what I was kind of amazed at, I've been looking at the grills.
Yeah.
The grills on the Chevys and the Fords and the Dodges and the other ones, the grills, especially on the Fords and the Chevys, are just like massive. It's like now the whole thing is like this chromed out, kind of like, the wrappers with the grills. That's kind of what it reminds me. It's almost overkill now.
Except they're all plastic.
I know. But it kind
it's
of
massive.
It's kind of like, I as a designer, I understand that's kind of like they've got this mindset now that this grill has just got to stand out.
Well, that's what's selling.
And Dodge actually is more sedate, and I like that look. It's still got its very unique style.
It's simple. It's almost more aggressive.
It is.
Chevy and Ford are doing the bling wars.
The bling wars is exactly right.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. It's the bling wars. grin, and you got the grills on there.
That's
so,
right.
And then big news for Peugeot fans. The automaker has announced that it will soon return to America with a lineup of cars. Details coming soon.
So now we'll hear the Peugeot jokes again.
The Peugeot. I thought it was Peugeot.
It's Peugeot.
I thought, yeah,
it Peugeot. It is Peugeot.
But I'm like,
but we always, you got to be Puget there.
Now we're going to have to bring back another Pink Panther.
Jeez. You know, for a while, those things were actually not bad. They made some decent cars.
They
did some really decent cars.
And a new study out.
Temperamental.
Yes. And, well, I think they've kind of ironed out some of that.
Oh, I'm sure they have. If they're coming back, they must have.
A new study points out tough times ahead for auto dealers. According to a study, dealers leaned on factory incentives more than ever to turn a profit last year, and for the first time in the last decade, they lost money on operations, according to a report by the National Automobile Dealers Association. So I have not worked in a dealership, but when you don't get those incentives, they really need those to get their margins where they need to be.
Oh, sure.
So they're not losing it.
Well,
and their overheads cost more and more.
Yeah, and you listen to the commercials. I mean, everybody's talking about, X amount off and a discount.
I know.
You're going to get the super hoo-wah package along with it and all of this, for less. And we'll give you a high dollar for trade-in. I mean, it's really, really competitive because the fact is, cars are not selling as well.
No, they aren't.
And they're expensive. Any decent 150 or 1500, category pickup truck is going to cost you $40,000.
I know.
By the time you're done fiddling around with it. And you want any kind
of. And we're
of
not even talking
stuff.
The Raptor, which we'll be talking about in the next segment if everything works out.
And that's a very nice truck.
Yeah. That's a $65,000 price tag beginning there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
whatever happened to, your car costing less than your house?
Oh, I know. I know. Well, our houses in our neck of the woods, the new one's going for $800,000. So you can get decent job, decent pricing on smaller.
Find a shack for $800,000.
Oh, I know. I know. good news, and I can do this. A year after a fire tore through the Mount Whitney High School's auto shop, construction crews begin the process of bringing the building back to life.
Oh, nice.
They are meeting today as we speak to green light what's expected a $2.1 million contract to reconstruct the building, and the project will be paid by property liability. I am so cool. We want to keep those shops in the high school.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, glad to have you with us. Coming up, we get to talk to a man who's synonymous with the name Shelby. All of that and more coming up on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Hey, hey, hey. We are back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Time for the windshield view. This week we get to talk with a guy who's kind of synonymous with the word Shelby. And here in the leather-upholstered HCNR studios, we have Vince LaViolette. Vince, welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
Hey, glad to have you with us. We're going to let everybody know ahead of time that any information we share that has to do with Facebook or other websites and stuff, we're going to add those links to the show page as soon as we're all done. But I think just to kick it all off, you know, we mentioned the word Shelby, and everybody knows what that's about. So tell us how, you know, what's your connection with Shelby?
I'm the Vice President of Operations. Here at Shelby, we wear a lot of hats. So I'm also the senior designer and the head of research and development.
Well, I'm glad you don't have much to do.
Yes, uh-huh.
So how did you get to wear all of those hats?
Well, you know, I started here, you know, doing design work and you know, research and development for Carroll years ago. I've been here for about 18 years now.
Oh, great.
And then kind of worked my way up, and now they want me to kind of run everything in the back. So it's been really fun. It's you know, I've been here for 18 years. I don't think I've worked a day yet.
That is a sweet deal.
That is what happens, though, when you're there that long. They pretty soon start saying, well, you know, you ought to run things, and if you forget to step back, you know, you're up there.
So, yeah, you know what's neat is running a place like this, starting out in the back is really nice because, you know, you're down to earth, you're with all the guys, they know exactly what you do, they watch the design, they watch you build the cars from the ground up, you know, they've all been to the track with me testing. So, you know, once they move me up to the front, I got respect, I can go back there, we can work together with the guys. And I think it just makes it to where we get a better product, and they understand as well as I do, you know, exactly how everything works.
Yeah, I think the been there, done that factor cannot be overstated.
Well,
I think that's absolutely true.
And that's just not found in a lot of companies these days, especially the larger companies. They import their head honchos that really have no connection with the people that are doing the jobs. And it sounds like you started out there. And for those who do not know, Vince, I was at your beautiful factory there in Vegas, and it's just right out of town. It's not at the racetrack anymore, and it's just, how many square feet is your complex there?
We got 110,000 square feet for working, and then we also have a warehouse, and then we have another building that's another 90,000 square foot that we used for cars in, cars out type thing.
Nice.
Yeah, and this is they start pretty early in the morning because it gets kind of hot in the afternoon, and so all the Keith was telling me that Keith is the resident historian on site, and he does a wonderful job. Big kudos to Keith. He did a wonderful job when I was down there for the tour, by the way.
Very good, very good. Yeah, we appreciate him. You know, it's funny. You get people that don't know that we're right in their backyard. You know, I always say, you know, we're a small company with a big name. And, you know, for people to actually drive by on the freeway, we're right on the freeway. People drive by and they see, you know, the Shelby factory, and they can't believe what they saw. It was funny. Today, I went out in the Heritage Center, and we have a store connected to it. And we look behind the main desk at the store, and there's probably about 15 suitcases sitting there. And you go and you talk to these people, you know, and they're going, man, we were on our way into town. They go, we saw the Shelby store. I didn't even go to the motel. I just want to come in and see the Shelbys, you know. So
that's
it's
great.
Pretty exciting. It's a lot of fun.
You got to pay off some of the cabbies to bring those guys by before they take them home.
Yeah.
That's a deal. Well, now, you said you started off in R&D and design. So tell me a little about how that worked. That was, you know, these many years ago.
Yeah, years ago, it was funny. I was I've been in Winston West NASCAR. I started that in back in '83, and so I've had shops where I had my own shop building race cars and hot rods and stuff like that for years. And then one day, I had a buddy of mine was driving by this place, and he says, you know, I'd like you to come back down to Vegas and open a shop with me. And I told him I kind of like to work someplace, so he sent me a resume real quick from Shelby, you know, and I realized what it was. I put on my racing background and my R&D background and everything like that. And wouldn't you know it, they called me the next day and told me I had to get down here. So it was neat. And it was funny is because, you know, I walked in the place and I got to meet with the president that was at the time. And then Carol comes in the room and starts talking to me. And I'm just thinking, well, this is Carol Shelby here, you know. This is kind of a neat thing.
This is the guy.
But anyway, what I kind of find out about Carol is he's a very, very down to earth guy. He's a no nonsense. If you say you can do it, you better pull it off kind of guy. So I remember the first day I came down here, I walked in the shop in the back door, and Carol's standing there, and I said, well, sir, I said, where do you want me to work? He says, from this door here to that door back there, he says, the two shops across the street, and I got an Indian shop down in California, that's all yours, son. You best get busy.
Wow.
and that's the way he was. And it was funny. I says, well, what would you like me to do? He says, well, you know, I got a little dilemma. He says, I got these Cobras here, these 427s. He goes, they put out a little over 500 horsepower. He goes, on a good day. He goes, and my guys are starting to get beat on the straightaway by all these fancy cars that are coming out. He says, I need more horsepower. He goes, I want you to design an engine upgrade. He says, that'll fit under the hood of the Cobra that somebody could put on over a weekend. So they can go out and get their, you know, get stomped on the weekend, go home, put this kid on, come back next week, and just show everybody who's boss. He goes, can you do that for me? So that was like my first job. So I went down to the engine shop, and I went ahead and fabbed up a Paxton supercharger on it, made a new top for the carburetor, fit everything up under the hood, got everything all tuned up, ready to go. I was making 750 horsepower and 750 foot-pounds of torque, right around 3,500 RPM, super low RPM. So anyway, so I let Carol take that for around the block. He came back with a big old smile on his block. He says, okay, son. He says, we're ready to start working.
that was your interview, huh?
That was my interview, yeah. And you know, what it really was is I found with Carol is he'll give you a task. He'll give you a timeline to build it. And if you say you can do it and you can pull it off, then you're golden. If you say you can pull something off and you can't, well, you're probably not going to be able to talk to him anymore.
Well, you know,
he's just that kind of guy. He was very matter of fact. The way we look at it nowadays is the way he did. We want to make history. You know, everything we do, we want to be over and above. We want to be ahead of the curve. You know, we want to design everything. Me and Gary, the president of the company, the vice president of the company, we probably do over 5,000 miles a year on track.
There you go.
Testing our product.
That's the way you do it.
And the only way you can actually get a product correct is, you know, you got to do testing. It's very important to us. I always tell everybody, you know, if there's a tour going on, I'll stop by and say hi to everybody. And I always say, hey, if anybody's got any Mustang parts that they're manufacturing, send them to me. I says, I'll put them on the car if they work. I says, we'll go ahead and co-brand them and make a little money. I says, if they don't work, I'll put a little note in there saying thank you very much and send it back to you, you know? But it's a mentality that we have here that we try to learn every day. We try to learn something new. We want to know what's out in the market. What's working nowadays? You know, cars are changing so much, you know, so fast. We got to keep up with the curve, you know? So it's exciting for us. Like I say, we're a small company. We're like a family. So everybody is very interested here. The guys that work on the line are probably some of the best mechanics around, and they're very dedicated. I always say the biggest problem I have with the guys on the line is when it comes to 2:30 in the afternoon, when we close, I got to kick them out of here. I go, come on, guys, it's time to go home, you know?
Everybody love to have employees like that, that's for sure. You know, you said something about Carroll Shelby that I want to ask you about. Everybody, I think, at some point or another, and we're going to go back 35 or maybe 40 years here, Bill Cosby years ago did a bit where, he ran into Carroll, and Carroll said, I'm going to make you a car. It'll go over 200 miles an hour, and I won't go through the whole bit, but, I mean, everybody kind of knows it. But the impression that he left in the bit was that Carroll was literally, a no-nonsense, walk-up, I'm going to show you that I can do it kind of guy, and whether that was a successful bid or not, it sounds to me like that's actually the guy. I mean, if he's not a desktop racer, he's a track racer, and that's what it is.
You know, it's funny, and if you came up and talked to Carroll, if you just came up and talked to
him. Hey, Vince, hang on 1 second. Let me make a quick break, and we're gonna take this story as soon as we come back.
Very good.
All right, thanks. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Back in Vehicle City.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and with Vince LaViolette. And just before the break, we were talking about, Brady, you had brought something up.
Oh, I was recounting the story of Bill Cosby's Carroll Shelby bit. But what I said was, Carroll seems like kind of a no-nonsense guy, and what I hear you saying, Vince, is that's the guy. I mean, what you see is what you get.
Yeah, it was funny, you know. Funny thing you say about that car also is we actually have a replica of that car in the museum right now.
Oh, is that right? The Cobra that he built for Bill?
Yeah. So
that's cool.
But anyway, Carroll was the kind of guy that if you just walked up to him and said, "Hi, you know, how you doing? You know, I love your cars and this kind of stuff," and just kind of started talking to him like we talk, it was fine. If you came up to him and said, "Excuse me, sir, you know, could I talk to you?" He would kind of be kind of standoffish on those kind of guys because he always felt when somebody approached him that way, they wanted something.
Okay, sure.
You were a down-to-earth guy and you just came up to him and started talking to him like, you know, just like we're talking. He'd sit down and talk to you for hours. You'd know him about all his cows and chickens and all his other stuff that he had going, you know. He was a really neat guy that way, but he was very, very down-to-earth.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask, and this is going to take off in a slightly different direction, but, you know, the muscle car wars are back, and everybody's looking at the bigger cubes and the bigger power, and all the, you know, the horsepower is a big deal these days, which I personally think is marvelous.
I mean,
welcome to real, you know, reality. And, you know, I mean, you know as much as anybody about the different offerings that Chrysler's bringing out, and, you know, the new Corvette is a fire breather, and the new Mustang is a fire breather. So what do you got that we can talk about that's, you know, gonna play on that level? I know you got tons.
Not a lot I can talk about though.
Well, nobody's gonna hear this.
You guys are trying to suck me in on this.
Nobody's gonna hear this. This is just you.
I saw some nice things sitting in the shop.
This
down
is
there.
Just you and us talking.
But I won't
here.
Say anything.
Yeah, we right now our Super Snake, you know, we run a 800 horsepower.
Right now,
we're doing a 3.0 blower on the 5.0, 800 horsepower, 50 state legal. We offer all kinds of superb suspension systems. You know, all kinds of things. I have different levels of everything for these cars, but our superstar right now is our wide body, 800 horsepower, Super Snake.
There you go.
A few years ago, we always had, you know, the bigger motors and stuff like that, and that's where the wide body came in.
Sure.
And we tried to make that little kind of a straight line car, really. We had to put the 335s in the back, you know, to get the thing to where we could get some, you know, power to ground and
right.
Everything like that. But then now, you know, the 2015 comes along. Now we got an independent suspension car. We got a smaller displacement motor. Not to say that we don't get at least 1,300 horsepower out of it anymore.
Sure.
We still do that. But the whole idea with the new car was, with the new wide body, was to come out with the best handling and just the nicest car that we've ever built. The 18 is just a superb car. I've changed the front end completely on it. I've changed the way that I direct the air in the hood. I'm very excited. We're you know, the way we're doing air management, and, you know, we're actually getting some downforce out of the front end of the car now. I got together with Penske. We're starting to, we use the shaker rig down.
There you go.
In,
yeah.
And these kind of things, we went to Charlotte, North Carolina. I brought a wide body. I bought two standard cars with me. We went ahead and we put them on the shaker rig down there. Now we got the exact spring rate we want. You know, we got the dampening we want.
Sure.
We took the thing out to the track. You know, before we went to Charlotte, we were pulling 1.1 G's in the corner, and it was okay. Now we're pulling 1.5 in the corner with the wide body cars, and it's just a monster on the track.
And it's
and
on
we're
rails
still
dialing too, isn't
it? In from there.
Yeah, and I'm sure it tracks like it's on rails too.
Oh, it's great.
And funny. It used to be, having a car with, you know, a lot of juice, they really kind of were straight line cars. I mean, some of the old classics that, you know, the 70s and stuff, those cars were straight liners. They weren't known for handling, but now, you know, the level of engineering is to the point where if your car can't do it all, people are going to find the weak spots like right away. And my buddy, this is maybe heresy, but I got a friend who bought a Hellcat a couple of years ago, and it's a heck of an engineered piece of work, as you're well aware. And it handles just as well as it screams. And all of the top end muscle cars are kind of like that. And going to a wide body makes total sense, right? Because you got something that's going to hold the track no matter what speed you're going.
Exactly. I designed a whole new rear suspension for them, two rear control arms, fully adjustable. We're able to put camber in the front and the rear now. We're able to dial a lot of things in that we weren't able to dial in before. Now, you know, we got a car that is actually an engineered vehicle for the track, and it still drives real nice on the street. And, you know, it's funny, you talk about big horsepower. I call us a equal opportunity blower company. We tend to work with a lot of different blowers. We do everything from Ford Racing, Edelbrock, Whipple, Kenny Bell.
Sure.
The earlier cars, you know, the bigger motors, we always ran Kenny Bells on those because they were straight, because the power curve was very hard. It came on very strong,
right,
plateaued out. And then on our track cars, we use a Whipple. The reason we use a Whipple on our track cars is because it has a very linear power curve on it. So no matter where you are in the corner, when you put it on throttle, the throttle is always the same. Same response all the way through.
Yeah,
and you need that for racing.
Yes, exactly. You know, I try to explain to people, you know, it's not all about the horsepower. You know, here's a funny thing. We took a car out. We have a bash every year. So last year we took a car out. Me and Gary usually go out there and, you know, show everybody what's new. So we took a car out. We did 3 days at the track. We, you know, just passed everybody out there. You know, we got to the main banquet that night. We go, hey, everybody, raise your hand if you got passed by the Maroon Mustang. You know, and they all look at us like, yeah, you got 1,000 horsepower. We don't want to hear about it. You know, I go, well, I want to show you guys something. So I had it up next to the stage. I popped the hood, and it's totally bone stock underneath. I said, this car here has handling only. I said, we did a full suspension on it. We did some different tires on it. I says, what I'm trying to prove to you is horsepower is a secondary thing that you put into a car. I says, if you want a good fast track car, that starts with the handling. So that's very important to us. We want to make sure that you got a good handling car, and then we'll start throwing a little horsepower in afterwards, you know, to balance the whole thing out.
Well, when you say handling, what I noticed is that is something you guys really do work hard on. And so let's say I bought a Mustang and it was a 2015, because I think you only go down to, what is it, 2009 or 2007? 2005 is the last, is the lowest year you'll go. And so I bring it in a 2015. I just say, you know, Vince, I want you guys to just make this thing so I can take it out on the track on the weekend. I'm not looking at a huge amount of power, but I want this thing to handle because I just can't do it on my own. What would you do? You've got multiple choices on what you're doing there, but are you replacing the whole front clip? Or are you just how are you engineering that? And does it matter actually the year probably too?
It doesn't really matter the year. What I like to do is actually when somebody wants to do that, I usually take them to the track first, and then I see what their skill level is.
There you go.
And then build the car to them. You know, there's different, you know, I use, you know, three or four different suspension systems. I can change a car to a coilover car. I can use, you know, Watts links in the back, different kind of dampening, different kind of sway bars, different brake setups on the car. So I like to take the person out and kind of see what they're all about, or, you know, see what kind of experience they have. And I want to build a car that's a little bit more than you can handle, and then you could work into it. So by the time you learn your car, you're very comfortable in that car.
Well, plus, without building a car that's way more than they can handle, to scare them. Or give them something that might hurt themselves. You know, I mean, that's always a possibility. You can certainly get a car that's more than you can deal with, and in a way, that's sort of not very responsible.
No, it's like...
Here's the keys to this. And
now, I wanted to shift...
Go ahead.
I wanted to shift gears here real quick. Talk to us a little bit about your the program with the factory, because that's what makes Shelby so unique, is that a person can go into their dealership and order a Raptor or order a Shelby custom Mustang. Talk to us about how that all started and how it continues on so that it's still under warranty.
Yeah, we started a while ago. The way that it used to work is you bring us a car and then you would buy a package. Well, a couple of years ago, we got tied in with the dealership network, and then Ford decided to go worldwide, and we went ahead and jumped on with them. So we're worldwide now. We're everywhere from China to Dubai. We just opened up Europe. We have Australia. We have New Zealand. Like I said, we just opened up Austria, I believe. What it is you just go to your Ford dealership now, and you can go ahead and you can order a car. You can get it. You can get the GT starting with the 600 horsepower package, and that'll come with a Ford Performance. That will be a full bumper to bumper warranty, drivetrain covered, everything like that by Ford actually. And you can buy that car through a your Ford Motor division. You can buy it through Ford Motor Credit. So which is really nice.
And you're doing these both right and left-handed, right?
And we do right and left-hand. Yes,
that's super.
Yeah, it's neat. We'll probably produce right around 300 cars out of here this year. We'll do about 150 trucks out of the Vegas plant. And then out of our Elkhart, Indiana plant, where we do all our trucks, we do a Raptor truck, a regular F-150, and then we also do a street truck, a lowered version. Out of that plant there, we'll run anywhere from 600 to 800 trucks a year out of that plant.
That's great. And it's also really great, just stepping back a little to the 10,000-foot level, that there's a market for that many high-end custom dollar trucks. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That says the American car market is solid.
Yeah, and the price is right. You know, they're right around the $110,000, $115,000 range, so they're not outrageous. And you get a lot. You know, we do a full suspension, we do bumpers, we do racks on them. The F-150s get a full covered bed. We do a leather interior. We do a suspension, brakes. We do the exhaust system on them, a custom hood, front end, striping. So you get a lot of bang for the buck, really.
We even
went up into the 250s and the 350 duallys now.
Nice.
We're doing those. Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. We sat back with Ford. Gary goes there, him and Aaron Shelby actually go there, about three or four times a year. And we go ahead and figure out exactly, what the market is, what's selling the most. And it seems, you look at the truck market, the amount of trucks that are made compared to the amount of Mustangs, and it's better for us to be, in a truck market also.
Oh, yeah. Well, trucks and SUVs are what it is these days. I mean, it's frightening the numbers that those marks are showing. I want to back up for a second. You were talking about the 250s and the 350s, with the duals. Are you doing this package with diesels as well?
Yes, with the diesels. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, you can actually get a diesel to go fast.
Oh, I know you can. I'm not. But I think that's really cool because, there's people who live with those things, but they would certainly like to have a little bit more juice, and that'd be the ticket there.
We bring them up to about 1,000 foot-pounds of torque for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and it's a nice package. We do wheels, tires, we do bumpers, hood, interior, striping, and it's a really nice looking unit. Because if you got a nice Shelby and you're going cross country and you got a trailer, you got to tow it with something.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, and why wouldn't you want to tow it at 160 miles an hour? After all. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Well, hey Vince, I wanted to. We're definitely going to bring you back on in the future. I've got another minute or two here, and I wanted to back up and ask you on a personal note, what are the two most rewarding things about your job?
The things that are most rewarding is the people. It really is. Like I say, it's a family. When somebody buys a car and they come up to you and they thank you for what you've done, and they tell you their experiences and how much fun they've had with the car. I had a guy that just flew in from New Zealand, picked up a car. He's been driving. He just put 3,000 miles on it. Came by here today, and he says, "Did you do me a favor and sign my dash?" He said, "I've never had so much fun in a car."
That is the best endorsement you could get.
Exactly. And it's all about that. It's about the people. We want to make everybody happy. We want to build a good car, but, it's just we want you to be part of the family.
That is awesome. Well, I know that we've got your the website and the email and information on the shop and the factory down there. We're going to make sure to put that on our page and things. And when the show posts
up,
we would love to have you come back for another talk if you got the time.
Yep, that would be fine.
Super.
Well,
I got some stories.
Yeah. Well, and with about a minute left to go,
you sure you don't want to tell us something about what's coming up?
Well, I
you
do.
Want to let,
I,
you want, I you want to leak some little thing to us here, Vince?
Yeah. Is there any kind of anything that's on the horizon that you can kind of just whisper about but not yell out?
We'll just put it this way. To keep up with the technology nowadays, you have to be over and above what's going on. And there's a lot of things that don't make any noise anymore that make a lot of power.
Okay.
We have no idea what you're talking about,
Vince.
We'll
have him back on soon.
We certainly appreciate the veiled reference to something else. That's great. Hey, Vince LaViolette, thank you so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it. Vince is with Shelby, of course, and we are going to have all of that information on our website here at Horsepower Chrome and Rust. It couldn't have gone any better, Vince. Thanks so much.
Very good. Thank you, guys.
You
bet. Talk to you again.
We'll be in touch. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, we'll be right back with more of the show, and we got a great story coming up with Brady and, of course, this week's trivia question. So hang with us. We'll be right back with more of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air-Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
Welcome back to story time segment of the show. This is Cars Confidential, where we usually hear another story from the old car nut book. And, Brady, what story are we going to be listening to tonight?
Well, it's interesting that you should ask that, Steve.
Anything to do with Shelby's?
No, I don't have a Shelby story. Okay. I do, however, have a test of courage and speed, so it's possible.
Well, I think that has something to do with what we just talked about.
There. Yeah. So this one is actually called Woodville Hill. And it was written by Gary Hughes, and it is in book one. So here we go. Oh, and it's, by the way, it's taking place in one of my favorite states in the Union.
Oh, very good.
The road between Butte and Helena, Montana is now Interstate 15, but in the 60s, it was simply a two-lane highway known then as US 91. So leaving the A&W Root Beer Drive-In and heading towards Helena on US 91, you encounter a hill known as Woodville Hill, that climbed to the Continental Divide. It was straight, it was 14 miles long, and it had a considerable elevation increase. Have you ever been up that road?
I have been through Butte and Helena and that area. And you know what? If I go back and retract some of our maps, because we always mark where we were.
If you've been to the Divide.
We've been there.
If you've been to the Divide, the road is different now. They kind of smoothed it out, but it's still, it's a heck of a climb. So as a teenager in the 60s, you could prove yourself by taking the ride to the top of Woodville Hill, turning it around, and then timing how long it would take to get back to the A&W. Now, most speedometers at that time had a maximum of 100 miles an hour, so the only method of determining the speed was by timing the trip. Any time less than 9 or 10 minutes was very respectable and definitely earned bragging rights. Now, Bobby always had the fastest time. He was an older kid. No one ever could top his time. I didn't like or hang out with Bobby because he was crazy bad, a little arrogant, and usually in trouble with the cops. Later, the fool changed his name to Evil and gained some notoriety crashing motorcycles.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Yes.
So, Several years later, I ended up in Seattle, and I met the perfect woman. She was a gorgeous woman. She drove a candy apple red 66 Mustang with a 289 V8 stick shift and always had a cold beer for me in her refrigerator. I'm thinking perfect. Our first date was at a racetrack. It just doesn't get any better than that. It was easy for this car guy from Montana to fall in love with her, and one day in 1970, we stopped at Belkirk Motors and for the first time saw the most desirable sports car to come about in decades, 1970, the Datsun 240Z. What a car. I mean, I cannot say enough about the styling, the handling characteristics, the power of this car. And they were pretty cool. They started a whole, you know, love affair with the Zs. It had absolutely the most pleasurable driving experience I had ever encountered. And Colette and I decided to make our relationship permanent. So we placed our name on the 8-month waiting list for a Z car. Yeah, it took that long to get one back in 1970. The color we chose was British Racing Green with a black interior. And we took delivery in the summer of 71. And we used that beautiful Mustang as a trade. Hey, you know, you can't keep them all.
Nope.
So the following year, we drove out to visit some relatives in Minnesota and eastern Montana, and returning home to Seattle, we arrived at the top of Woodville Hill late in the evening. Interstate 15 was just completed and was now a beautiful newly paved four-lane interstate. I looked over at my bride. She was sound asleep in the passenger seat. Memories of my youth overwhelmed me, and I mentally regressed to an earlier time. Once again, I was 16 years old at the top of Woodville Hill. The difference this time was that I was driving a beautiful aerodynamic machine that conquers hills like this.
And even handles a road.
The speedometer in the 240Z had a maximum of 160 miles an hour. Now, I'd never driven a car 160 miles an hour, although I would have no one to brag to because the A&W was probably closed at this hour. It still seemed like the perfect opportunity to beat Bob's time at last. I saw the sign marking the curve in the road for the new bypass when the car was achieving what it said was 130 miles an hour. In an instant, I aged from 16 to adulthood and said to myself, "Holy crap, this road is no longer straight."
Oh, no.
I gained a lot more respect for the braking and suspension of that automobile while I was navigating the curve sideways in the road with all four wheels locked up. There was a screeching sound coming from the tires and another screeching sound coming from my mouth. I learned the perfect woman gets very grumpy when awakened suddenly going sideways. For the rest of the trip, she wouldn't let me drive anymore and didn't like me much. The good news is she stayed married to me, and we've tested that 240Z to speeds of 130 miles an hour since. Some cars you can't keep. It still has a place in our garage and in our hearts.
Yes. Wow. That was a hair raiser.
I cannot tell you. I don't want to say how many because it sounds like a lot, but there have been several times when, you know, you come to the realization that you've extended, your ego has extended beyond your skill.
Yes. Oh, yes. Our better angels were watching over us during those times. Because
you can hear the wings.
Yes.
So this one again was with was from book one in the old Car Nut book series. And as we always say, David Dickinson has done a great job compiling these stories. You can get them on Amazon. You can go direct to theoldcarnutbook.com. There's three books in the series. And there's a new video on the website. And they make a great, great gift, as we all know.
You know, we have a couple minutes here, and I was thinking, been having some really cool happenings with your rat rod.
Yeah, well, everybody, people who listen to the show know I'm building a rat rod, and
yes.
I've got a 41 Jimmy pickup that I'm building.
I've got a place to do it, though.
Well, yes, yeah, my problem has been it's in the carport.
Right.
And I don't have a lot of room in the carport.
Nope.
And it's raining in the carport. So one of my club buddies, Michael Zesbaugh, said, "Bring it out to my shop. It's about 30 minutes away from where I live, and we'll put it in there. I've got a lift. I got tools. I got a door. You know, we're inside, and we'll build the thing out there." And, you know, I have to say, car clubs, there's several different kinds of car clubs, but the best ones, the ones that I was always most interested in as a kid and the ones that I'm interested in the most now, are groups of people who help each other do the stuff that they're
doing.
You know, it's like a bunch of guys hanging out in the garage that we all did when we were kids. This is actually kind of a club project. So I got the chassis out there. I got the motor out there. The transmission's ready. We got the front end. In fact, I'm going out tomorrow night. We're going to cut the motor mounts. and get that thing in place. And I'm going to put pictures of the build as we go.
You need to just keep going along with the build and showing it on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do it.
And then eventually we'll do a whole thing on our YouTube channel. We'll do a little
It'll be fun. And I was hoping originally that I would have it ready for the Monsters and Manson show, which is coming up in May. It's not going to be up. I'd like to, but it's just not reality. Yeah. But it'll be done. I think it'll be done this year. I think it'll be done. Maybe it'll be done before the Edmonds car and motorcycle show. That would be awesome.
Even, you know, because it's a rat rod, you're not looking at a spit shine kind of car. So
there will be spit involved, but it's not going to be in the shine.
It'll look like more piss and vinegar than anything.
It'll have a certain charm.
Yes, but that's the beauty. You could, as long as it's drivable, and it's roadworthy and it's licensed, you can show up.
Well, the good news is I already have a plate.
Oh,
because it's a collector.
Yes.
So I just did that. And in our state, if you're listening from someplace else, Washington has this cool collector thing where you don't ever have to buy tabs. Once you get the collector plate, if it's over, you know, X number of years old, I think it's 30 years.
I can't wait to do that with my own.
Yeah, then you're in. It's a one-time, you know, one-time rodeo.
What was the fee for that?
Oh, $40 or something. It wasn't very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the trick. That's it.
Yeah.
Plus, then your insurance ends up being, you know, retro. It's less that way.
Because you're not driving very often.
No. You can have the insurance dormant and say, I'm going to drive it this weekend, cover it for 3 days, and then put it back on dormant.
That's right.
And you don't pay as much. It's a great deal. So, yeah.
I think that's...
I will put up pictures of the build. I will put up pictures of the guys helping me with the build. It'll be a bunch of pictures of a bunch of old guys flailing away with wrenches and torches.
Yeah, I kind of saw that. But, you know, I'm like, who are those old guys? That could be me, because I got the gray hair.
Yes,
all there.
I earned every one of those gray hairs.
Yeah.
I spent money for those scars, believe me. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I want to thank the Rat Bastards Car Club, because they're, you know, just a bunch of great guys, and Michael and Ron Foreman are, you know, they've already stepped up to the plate. Just hauling the thing out there on the flatbed was actually pretty interesting.
We
used every come along and strap that we had, because stuff moved and it rolls and things. It's not as loose as it used to be. So, hey, the weekly trivia question is coming up. It's a great one, and the next week's question is even cooler. We also have a hint at next week's show. Put it in park. Stick around. We will be back. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man.
Whoa! Welcome back to segment five. This is Around the Wheel that could be sponsored by, well, you, if you decide you want to sponsor. And this is where we talk about all the upcoming events and the weekly trivia question and a bunch of other cool stuff. By the way, upcoming events, I can share now with you that, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit before, but the first ever Seattle Seafair Classic Car Show is a reality. It is going to happen. Pre-registration will open up shortly, and it is going to be on the day, August 3rd, which is the day of the Saturday qualifying for the hydroplane races. It'll be at the pits. It is going to be, if you have never been to an unlimited hydroplane race in Seattle, you have a life experience that you must share. It is absolutely marvelous. This is the mecca of unlimited hydroplane racing, with the Blue Angels flyovers and the beer gardens in the pits, and it's just, it's horsepower heaven.
Yes.
And for the first time, after 70 years, Seafair is going to do a car show. And they asked me to help produce it, which I am. But this is not a plug for me. It's a plug for Seafair. It's going to be excellent. So more details on that one will come, but I can share that it's real.
That's cool. Yeah. That is cool.
So last week, when last we left our heroes, the trivia question for last week was, which of the Chrysler letter cars sold the fewest? Now, Chrysler made a bunch of these things.
Yes.
And some of them were more successful than others. And the one that sold the fewest of all was the 1963 300J. And it turns out we have a fan who came up with this.
Yes.
It's Josh. What's his last name?
Josh Myers out of Leadbetter, Kentucky.
I love this.
Sent from his iPhone.
Yes.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks.
Yeah, way to go, Josh. You
and
win.
And he said it was the slowest selling letter car with only 400 ever made. It was the last one styled by Virgil Exner during the years as Chrysler's styling chief. So. Yep. Josh Myers wins our official Horsepower Chrome and Rust bucket of barn,
of
fine,
barn fine
dust.
Yes. The chrome-plated, leather-upholstered...
our virtual...
Non-GMO,
yes.
Organic barn fine
dust. With a little
dust.
Pigeon poop in it.
It has pigeon poop in it. It does.
Yeah.
But yeah, Josh, thanks so much. That was just an excellent job. And you are absolutely correct. And by the way, the Exner-styled cars, now this was 1963... There's a reason why they don't have him styling cars anymore. These were some of the saddest looking Chryslers ever to come down. By the way, the 300J was the correct one. They only sold 400 of them. You know why they didn't make a 300i?
Because Virgil was gone.
No. They went from H to J.
Oh.
Because the I looked like a 1. And nobody could figure out, what's a 3001? No,
3001.
It's an I. No, seriously. So they didn't have an
okay.
I. They just went to a J. So yeah, that's it. Now, as if that weren't exciting enough, we have a trivia question for next week. Josh may know this, but maybe he won't. We should put a limit on how many times Josh can
win. Yeah.
I'm loving it. So it's just cool. So here it is. Which maker of cars was originally known as Swallow Sidecars? They didn't actually make cars. They started out making sidecars.
Oh my goodness.
Ah, this is going to go back a ways.
Swallow, ask the question
sidecar.
Again.
So which car maker that makes cars was originally known as Swallow Sidecars?
Interesting.
Oh yeah. Oh, that
not
I had
to be confused with Bluebird that makes buses.
No. The Bluebird Flyer. I always like their bird logo.
Yeah.
I always wanted one to make into a sissy bar on the back of my Harley.
Oh, that would be cool.
Anyway, if you know this one, you can obviously send us something from your iPhone. You can send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust. You can answer our Facebook page. Oh, you can do all of that stuff. So make sure you jump in on that one. And as a reminder, Horsepower Chrome and Rust does have a few new sponsors. It's a great opportunity to reach a close targeted audience of millions of car enthusiasts. Every single show, we share the podcast all over the net. If you got a business that caters to car people, let us work for you. You can email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust or message us on Facebook. Hey, that's our cue to hit the gas. To next week, thanks to Vince LaViolette from Shelby for stopping in. Make sure you like and follow our website and our Facebook page. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, we'll bring you the naturally aspirated version of another edition of Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I'm not natural.
Naturally aspirated.
Oh, that's true.